today on Real Radio.
Not one of us in this room is exempt from the grace of God. God wants to reach you. God wants to touch you. But when he does this, my friends, I like to put it this way. He rolls up his sleeves and he goes to work in your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3. Now, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter understood the times they were in. Christians were under the constant threat of persecution, but Peter also understood how really big his God really is, and he knew in his heart that the Lord would ultimately take care of them. Now, previously we learned that there is no other way to fellowship with Jesus on a close personal level than to also experience his suffering. Since the birth of the first century church, the gospel of Jesus has been under attack. That's the truth. The world despises the fact that we can find joy in every situation and that we have a peace that defies any understanding. And the truth is, whatever we're going through, we know that God loves us and has a plan for our lives and that our suffering is not without purpose. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God is on the move and stirring things up. He's purifying the church and getting it ready for heaven. And that's exactly why he's at work in our lives, preparing and perfecting us for the things to come. And now in his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, God is wanting to do a work. God is wanting to do a work with us. And he's announcing to us that it's a time that judgment has come for God and his church, and God wants to clean up his people for the next act. And according to the Bible, the next act is for God's people to meet God face to face. It could happen at any time. I believe the Bible teaches that God came back for his people in a collective order called the harpazo in Greek, or the rapture. It could happen at any time. It's without warning. It's sudden. But Peter's announcing there's a day coming when we'll stand before God. And we need to be ready. And I believe God's getting his church ready. He's certainly getting the church ready all around the world. You may or may not know, but Christians are dying wholesale around the world right now at never recorded numbers such as this. An estimated 300,000 Christians a year, and it's increasing, are dying for their faith around the world. And that number increases every year. In America, it's a little bit of a different thing right now. Right now, many believers are being lulled to sleep with apathy and complacency. And the Bible yet here tells us that time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. This is a good thing. God is saying, I got to get you ready for a trip. There's a trip coming. It's time you get ready.
Let's go.
There's something coming up, and you need to be ready. And God is saying, it's time for this judgment. And what does that mean? It means that God is going up and down the aisle, as it were, of this church, or up and down the aisle of your home, or up and down the aisle of your mind as a believer. And he's saying, all right, let's whip some things into order here. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of this. Let's add some more of this. Let's keep focused on that. Let's get rid of the other thing. Are you with me? Yeah. It's what he does. We all do it. We do that in life. You have kids? How many of you have kids? You do it all the time with your kids. Do that, sit down, don't do that, make sure you do the other. Why do you do that? Because you love them. But I want to draw your attention to the fact that he announces to us that judgment must first begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey? Notice, do not obey the gospel of God. This is a tremendous statement. Peter's announcing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that there are those who know God's word, but they do not obey it. What are they? They are fair weather believers? I don't know. They are wheat and chaff, different, separated? I don't know. They are those who believe for a while, but when difficulty comes, they give up? I don't know. But there's a group, according to Peter, that what's happening here is that there are those who, when God begins to go to work, there are people that are weeded out. And they're not weeded out because of something they don't perform or do. They're weeded out because their faith is not real. Church, you know that fiery trials, the difficult trials of life, perfect our faith. But I can say that theologically, you could answer the quiz theologically in a course, but unless you live it, you won't know it. And God is announcing through the apostle, he's saying, this is what's going to happen. In the light of all of this separation from the world and all of the persecution and the trials and the difficulties that you're going to experience for the name of Christ, you just need to make one thing very, very certain, is that there's a purification that comes to all of God's people. And so today, I just want to share some things with you that come out of a whole lot of experience this last week in the locations that I was at, in light of our closing arguments to this portion of 1 Peter chapter 4. God is going to start stirring things up as he is in the world. America is not exempt. Friends, listen. Are there Christians who live in America? Yes. Then God will do to the Christians in America what he's doing to his saints everywhere else in the world. You understand? We're not exempt. God is purifying for him the church, what is called the bride of Christ, right? He's getting her ready. And so I just want to share some things with you today. And you may think, how does this fit? What are we talking about here? I want to encourage you to not be discouraged with the things that are going on in your life that Peter has been talking about in these studies these last few weeks when we've been together. That God is completely committed to getting you into heaven. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, who is not only God, he's God come in flesh, he's the Son of God, that he came to the cross, not by accident, but by purpose, that he knew according to the Bible that he would come, that he would die, that he would be buried, that he would be resurrected from the dead, and that he would willingly do this because that was God's plan to redeem a broken race, and that is the human race. That instead of God flushing the whole thing down the toilet, he wound up taking Adam and Eve and the descendants after them to redeem them. That for the thousands of years that we can trace back, God has been at work. And it all culminates to the cross of Christ, what Jesus did for you and I. Not one of us in this room is exempt from the grace of God. God wants to reach you. God wants to touch you. But when he does this, my friends, I like to put it this way. He rolls up his sleeves and he goes to work in your life. Why? Because the moment he redeems you, the process of your life being changed, you know, the Bible tells us that day by day, you and I are being changed into the image, into the glory of Christ. You know, technically, you know, Christ means, or Christian means Christ follower. It's a dirty word. Christian. I don't know if you know that. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if you know what you're talking about. When you say you're a Christian, you got to remember 21 centuries ago, that's how you insulted someone. The Roman Empire said, oh, look, a little Christian. He just loves his little Jesus, and he's a little Christ-like person. He goes around forgiving people who have offended him. He goes around helping the poor and taking, are you here? Are you with me? They mocked it. And they wound up calling us Christians. Today we say the word Christian. Can I get a badge for that? I'm a Christian. What do you want, people to applaud? It's not a good thing in a culture if you announce that you're a Christian and people applaud it. That's how you fall into apathy. We're not of this world. We don't belong here anymore. That's why you and I feel so odd, the way this world is going. So having said that, I want to share something with you today. And that is that as believers, I believe that God has given you and I a reprieve. There's a moment that God has given us right now. And what I share with you today is something that I've wanted to share before. But in light of my travels this last week, let me begin by sharing with you this way. I began my week last week away from you, but with a host of a couple thousand believers in Canada that came. They gathered, they came, some of them having driven or flown for many miles in great distance, they came, and they came with Bibles and lamenting the fact that their nation of Canada has departed from their Christian roots. But these believers, they track right along with you. They're in the Word of God. They're on target with you. They love the Bible. They love Jesus. And they made a pilgrimage, so to speak, just to hear myself and a few others teach for a one-day gathering there in Toronto from the Bible. And they lined up and they came and they wouldn't move for the entire day. It was remarkable. Thousands of them. Why? Hungry for the Bible, hungry for truth. They just wanted truth because they're not getting it in their churches. Everything about their churches have been watered down. The pastors wind up apologizing for the Bible. And their hearts are just, they're starving. And I had a great opportunity to be with those wonderful Canadian saints that you'll be in heaven with forever. And their Bibles are marked up like yours. They were praising the Lord just like you do. And we got to see the family of God together in Canada. And it was awesome. But their lamentation is, we can't find churches that teach the Bible. And so it was a tremendous time. Encouraging, yes, but sad at the same time to see this drought in the land. And then I went from Canada to Washington, D.C. Now, this is where I need you to just stay seated today. Don't run out of the building with your hair on fire until you hear me, because I'm sure there's something in this exhortation. That's what today is. It's not a Bible study. It's an exhortation that can catch all of our hair on fire. I'm just going to ask you to listen. I have been to Washington, D.C. on business, I say business, on God's business journeys for the last, I think, 17 years. I don't even know how many times I've been there. But friends, I have to tell you that this last week, something's different. Something's different going on. Now, what I'm going to say, I'm just going to give you an eyewitness report. Please don't let this offend you. Just hear me out. I am not endorsing or condemning any political persuasion or movement. I am a monarchist, if you want to be accurate about it. I'm a monarchist. I believe in a ruling, reigning king, and I hope he comes back any minute now. And that's the truth of the matter. Having done that, I agree with Benjamin Franklin, who said, God governs in the affairs of men. Listen, God's in control, not the Democrat Party. God's in control, not the Republicans. God's in control, not the parliament or not the king. God's in control. Yes. This is his world. It's lost. Listen, this world's lost and it's condemned because of sin, but he came to redeem it. And he's, by the way, if you read your Bible, he's got a refurbishing project coming. Read the book of Revelation. It's pretty awesome. But being in Washington, D.C., one of the things that I wanted to do, and I'm telling you right now, my mind is planning on how to get you there. But I went for the first time to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Have you been? It's brand new. Now, I don't know about you. When I heard about the Museum of the Bible, my first thought was cheesy. Because, you know, Christians don't do things all that well. I mean, come on. We don't do them all that great. I was blown away. It'd take you all day to go through this, and I'm not sure if you could finish it in a day. No expense has been spared. It's world class. And it goes through just the history of creation, the history of the Bible. It has all of these remarkable things, and it walked around, and there's a section where there's the influence of God in the founding of America. And have we forgotten? Have we been so dumbed down by our public educational system to have forgotten God? To be reminded again of John Winthrop and these founders who saw a passion and a vision from God that we've got to get out of this Europe and get to this land that we've claimed for God. Listen, I'm serious. I'm trying to figure out how do we get about 8,000 of you to this museum. It's an awesome experience. And when you read about our founders, because you know, you're getting a totally different picture in the public square today of our nation. You are not getting the truth. God has been washed out of our nation's history. God has been excoriated out. And it was one epic educational step after another, and it was done with no expense. No expense was spared. Incredible. And to see all of these things and to realize I am standing right here inside the Beltway of Washington, D.C., in a sense, a place that rules the world with policies, and in the heart of our nation's founding, you cannot deny it, is God. The only other nation on earth that can claim such a thing is Israel. And all of the documents, and the down the street, the Magna Carta, down the street at the National Archives, the Mayflower Compact, where our founding fathers, I'm not talking about Benjamin and Tom, I'm talking about Winthrop and Bradford and the Pilgrim founders. They said, we're not stepping off this boat. We are not stepping off this boat until we have a governing body of politic, they called it. And when was the last time you read the Mayflower Compact? It's only two paragraphs. You should read it. If I was the dictator of the California school system, it would be required reading before you can get out of the first grade. And then I would have it read at the end of every grade. You need to read it again. To go back to the roots, to go back to the heritage of what has been excoriated and washed out of our system in public education, which is an absolute embarrassment to the facts. And I watched all of that, and I watched, and I looked, and I listened. And then you say, well, Jack, you knucklehead. Said, of course, you went to the Museum of the Bible. Of course it's going to be biased. Oh, yeah. When's the last time you visited the Lincoln Memorial? When's the last time you walked the Washington Mall? When was the last time you went to the Jefferson Memorial? And read what Jefferson said. Did you know at the top of the Washington Monument, that gigantic obelisk in the middle, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Do you know what it says on the top? Of course not. You've never been up there. You can't, only God can see it. Well, only God can see it, and the president every time he lands on the South Lawn. Marine One has to fly right over it, make a left-hand turn. You know what it says before the president sets down on the White House lawn? At the top it says, glory be to God. Amen. Did you know that? Amen. You'll write me and say, Jefferson was a secularist. Really? All men are created by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson talked about the dangers of when we forget God. You ought to read the latter letters of Benjamin Franklin when he came back to Christ. You know, he lived like a bozo most of his life when he went to Europe. He was a terrible person. But when he got back and in his old age, I think at about 80 years of age, his language changed. And when you read all these great quotes about Ben Franklin, about God, it's in his old age. People don't like to quote that stuff. You say, why are you telling us all this? Because we are living on the brink of something epic right now. As sure as you're breathing, God is going to move again in this world. He's moving. But I believe because unlike any other nation on the face of the earth, like Israel, God moved in this nation. And I found myself walking that city and reading one incredible God-glorifying statement or verse from the Bible that caused me to stop and say, oh God, do it again. One more time, God. This nation is in trouble. We are in great trouble. Our nation has forgotten God. And I looked around at what was going on, and I just thought about 1 Peter chapter 4 and what we could possibly talk about this morning, and the fact that God is announcing to us that judgment must first begin at the house of God. That's a good thing, friend. God is about, I'm no prophet, I'm just stealing from the Bible. God is about to scrub and clean and prepare the church in the United States. She needs cleansing. Persecution must break out. It will come. It is extremely evident to me, hear me out. Hear me out, just hear me all the way through. I had a chance to be at the State Department recently. I'm telling you right now that, and it's not my opinion, that for the first time in what might be entire U.S. history, there are more people in power who love the Lord Jesus Christ than at any other time, and it is a remarkable, remarkable time. I'm not asking you to believe in their policies or their what or their demeanors. And I'll be very honest with you personally. Donald Trump believes in God, but I personally don't believe he's born again, at least not yet. But for some bizarro reason, I think it's God, he has surrounded himself with passionate believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's overwhelmingly evident. You cannot deny it. You can't deny it. God can use anybody he wants. He can even use me. He can even use you. Remember this, if you have a hard time with my statement a moment ago, God says, I install kings, I remove them. Yeah. Remember that. So what am I talking about here right now today? That what I saw in Washington was an overwhelming presence of people excited, filled with hope. I saw people walking around daily, waving little American flags. I saw high schoolers and junior highers on trips with their schools, visiting the monuments, and they're looking at all these eyes. Listen, if this offends people, I'm sorry, I'm just reporting what I saw. When you see a 13-year-old, and not just one of them, wearing Make America Great Again hats, you say, well, that's an endorsement for Trump. Forget about that. Listen, you want to make America great again? Turn back to God if you want to make America great again. Turn back to God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3. We're so glad you could join us today, and our prayer is that you put all that you are and all that you have in God's hands, where it's always going to be secure. What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Peter kept reminding us that in the midst of suffering, it's all going to be worth it. Peter knew the power of encouragement and the strength we'll receive in the study of God's Word. The more we know, the more empowered we'll become to keep growing and to keep doing God's will. It's also why Pastor Jack shares so much on YouTube. His channel is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And once you're there, you'll find Pastor Jack's hundreds of messages on Scripture, Bible prophecy, current events, and so much more. So join the thousands of subscribers in search of God's truth, comfort, and inspiration. Again, Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, it's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You can also access that YouTube channel right there from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.